Live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
MD Fat Tony here with you in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Game day, Fat Tony.
Yes, it is.
A mere shadow of what is to come in just about a week and a half. As I just described, by the way, college football is a mere shadow of the NFL to Tony Aguilini, who tweeted me that he's not looking forward to anything in preseason week four because it's the start of college football. So what? So what, we say on Jaguars Today, at least I say. On Jaguars Today, the best thing about tonight is it is the fourth preseason. It's the final one.
It's done.
It's done. It'll be over with.
It's done. Enough fake football. I get it from a team perspective. You want to evaluate these players as much as possibly can. From a spectator's perspective, I'm done. I was done a week and a half ago with all of this preseason football, but we only have one more night of it. And then we can finally turn our attention to the regular season.
Hey, congrats to players 50 through 53 on the final roster.
Sure.
You know, you're playing for your spot. I would advise not going out and getting a jersey made with one of their names on it or their number on it because they're typically not around for the entirety of the season. But we'll see how it all goes. Guys are, you know, earning a chance to maybe make this roster, and with the expanded practice squad. Now, you got 18 guys that'll have to be cut. They're down to 75 right now. You got to get down to 53, but you've got a 10-man practice squad. So you would imagine that, you know, really eight guys completely out of a job at the minimum, and then you still have to factor in, are you going to be able to poach a player or two off of team guys that are on other rosters right now that you feel could help you coming in, be that at the tight end position, is a position we speculated a lot about, or anywhere else for that matter, if there's a guy, because you know the pro personnel people keep an updated file on everybody out there. They're combing the waiver wire, so trust me, I'm sure they sifted through the names that were released to get down to 75 on Tuesday. They'll do the same coming up this weekend, because these guys, you would figure, had a better chance of making the roster, some of the tougher cuts coming down the line.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, look, we don't know exactly who the guys are that they're evaluating for the bottom end of this roster, but I think we can have a pretty good idea. We've been talking about the center position here for the last month or so and what that's going to look like. And look, Jeff Loggeman brought it up with us first, and I think we both happen to agree with him that Brewster's going to make this team as the starting center, or he's not going to make the roster. And tonight is the last opportunity for him to show that he deserves to be one of the 53 on this team right now. They have questions at punt returner, and it sounds like they may get both guys that they wanted to look at in that position back, at least for tonight,
right,
in some capacity, in Tandon Dawson, Ace Sanders. So what's that going to look like compared to the first 3 weeks? It was interesting seeing Mike Brown put in that position last week, because that isn't something that he had been asked to do yet in a Jaguar uniform. So what does that say about him? Did they want to just see him doing something else besides just playing wide receiver? Does that
in other words, does he need to show he's got more value,
right,
than just playing wide receiver to this football team?
We're not sure, but we have been talking about, look, usually when they put guys on special teams in that kind of capacity, it's because they do want to evaluate if he can do more than one thing for you, and is he worth keeping around if he can't. So is Mike Brown more on the bubble than I think a lot of people thought he was?
I think
was?
He might be. I think they're clearly, the receivers that are safe are the three rookies, including Allen Hurns and Cecil Shorts.
Yeah.
And beyond that, Tony, I don't think anything's written in cement, although I would expect Tandon Doss, if he shows he's healthy and can open the season as the primary punt returner, would be safe, because I don't think anybody's really distinguished themselves in that role.
No, and that would be five. And then the question is, do they keep six? And if you're keeping six, Is that fifth guy you're keeping, is it going to be a guy like Mike Brown if he's not going to help you on special teams?
Well, I don't see how they don't keep six, to be honest with you, because what can you expect out of Allen Robinson early in the season?
Sure.
And if you're not going to get anything out of him, I suppose Tandon Doss can play play some reps at wide receiver in addition to punt returner, but I would expect you to have one more wide receiver to choose from on game day, because I expect Allen Robinson, or at least my best guess would be, until we hear differently, good chance he's not going to be suiting up on the active 45 on game day, or I guess, yeah, the active 45. It's still, it's, I'm confusing myself with the practice squad. Eight men down on game day plus the 10-man practice squad.
Yeah.
I unconfused myself all in the span of mere seconds there. Honestly, to me, I think the most critical thing tonight is don't lose anybody in the brief period of time that you're going to see some of these starters play, at least that we expect to see. You know, if Henny's going to be out there, get him in, get him out. Lead him down the field, hopefully, to a scoring drive. Let everybody leave on a high note. I think it was Loggeman the other day who said reps are more important than leaving on a high note. I do think there's something to be said for the last thing you did it successfully, and you have a good feeling about that. You know, are three more live reps, if you go three and out, more beneficial to you than ending on the idea of I just hit Mercedes Lewis for a 17-yard touchdown, for instance?
Sure. And between the first and second team offenses, as excited as everyone has been about Blake Bortles and some of the play that we've seen from him, look, the two of them combined through three games have scored two touchdowns. It's not like the offense has been really good to this point in the preseason, so it would be nice if they could have some success early, get off the field tonight.
Yeah, get them in and get them out, and as far as Blake Bortles goes as well, how long is he going to go? It doesn't seem like... You know, there's a situation where you got a guy like David Carr, all right? Derek Carr.
Derek.
Yeah, Derek.
It's Derek right now. David's done.
Doesn't matter if I get their names wrong. Derek Carr may play the whole game for the Oakland Raiders. Certainly going to play a lot of it. And some people are talking about this is a chance for him to impress one more time and maybe even steal the opening day job. Obviously, if he doesn't, he's the primary backup to Matt Schaub in Oakland. You know, so there's different approaches. To me, I get Blake Bortles all the reps I could. I'd make sure I left enough offensive linemen in the game where I felt like I was going to protect the guy. But what's more important, the decision on what to do with Stanzi and Morris or getting Blake Bortles some live, you know, looks at opposing defenses out there? I'm not saying you leave them in necessarily in the fourth quarter if they're running some crazy stuff and you got guys trying to impress and put something on tape and trying to get that highlight hit. But as long as you're leaving in competent offensive linemen to protect him, you know, a guy who is going to be, you know, the proverbial guy working at Burger King next week, fine Canadian outfit that they are, you know, shouldn't be able to get to your quarterback, to be honest with you,
no,
in that circumstance.
And, yeah, I would play Blake Bortles probably for two full quarters.
I'd play him the rest of the way, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think that's close to what they're going to do.
No, it sounds like the plan is going to wind up being basically around a quarter for Chad and around a quarter for Blake Bortles.
Right.
It's almost like the first preseason game all over again from the quarterback perspective. And maybe they don't feel like they need more of an evaluation on Blake. They kind of feel like they know where he is. I think everyone who's coming tonight would rather see him play for three and a half quarters.
I mean, they'd like to see him play for four quarters tonight. I
just don't think you're going to wind up seeing that. And I can understand from a team perspective, you don't want to put him out there and risk him. I mean, you were just talking about health.
But what are you risking? Really, you're risking your backup quarterback. I mean, that's what he is right now.
But you are putting him out there against a bunch of guys who tonight is about the evaluation of the bottom end of that roster.
I get it.
There's going to be some guys on the field that are fighting for their lives.
But that's what I'm saying. If you, as long as you leave out a competent enough level of offensive line protection out there,
I would play him.
You know, I mean, guys are fighting for their lives every day in the National Football League. You know, they're fighting to stay on rosters and make a name for themselves. And forget about that. Just make a highlight hit and knock a quarterback out of a game anytime you play. And I get it. Fourth preseason game. It's not about wins and losses. It's not about that. It's about, you know, once you get into the regular season now, you want to talk about Blake's going to play when he's ready. How do you determine when he's ready? And I know they said they've got a plan for that, but to me, part of that plan would be get him as many live reps in the preseason as you feel he can handle.
Yeah, I would.
That would be a ton of them tonight.
I would happily give him 50 to 60 reps tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Wouldn't bother me at all. I'm just not. Based on what we've heard.
I totally agree with you. I don't think there's a chance that we're going to see that tonight. No. But, it is your last chance to see Blake Bortles, at least for the foreseeable future, barring, injury to Chad Henne, whether that would be, tonight or early in the season. Don't expect to see Blake Bortles for a while. A lot of the national pundits weighing in. It's that season now where you predict the record of every team out there. And a lot of 4-12 predictions once again for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. So it's kind of a little bit interesting. We'll make our official season predictions next week. And I'm a little more bullish than that, but I'm at the same time trying not to get too caught up, Tony, in all the positivity around here, because there's still, you look at, questions on the offensive line, check. Running game hasn't really gotten on track the entire preseason, check. Wide receiver core, extremely inexperienced, and your most experienced guy that you're relying on hasn't proven he can stay healthy for long stretches of time in the NFL. You're playing with a quarterback who, you know, on a good day is mid-pack. That's just the offensive side of the football, you know. And defensively, we have higher hopes for them. But at the same time, really, what do we see? One sack in the last couple of games. Got some good pressure at times. But, it's easy to write the story when we cover this team on a daily basis, focusing on the positives and all the things that we see improvement in with this football team and sure. why they should be better record-wise than last year. But, you know, look, everybody was crucifying the national media a couple of years ago for predicting bad things, and it was worse than most of them predicted.
Yeah, we were way off, a lot of us, a couple of years ago, because we were talking about that game getting ready for Minnesota Week 1. Could this be a swing game when it comes playoff time?
Right.
I mean, that seriously was a discussion we had leading up to Week 1 of 2-14. So, look, we could all be wrong.
If you're going to make the wild card, this is one you got to get, Tony.
Right. I mean, I don't get the sense that that's where a lot of the fan base is right now. I think that they expect this team to be more competitive. And, look, you mentioned problems on the offensive line, at least questions on the offensive line. I don't think that people really realize yet how significant the questions still are on that offensive line. There's the potential of starting a rookie center and right guard who are definitely going to have their problems at some point in the season. Austin Pastor may be back for Week 1. We aren't sure. Should be Week 2 or 3, you would think, with his timetable. He might be back on the field, but it is Austin Pastor that you're talking about you need to have back at right tackle for this football team. Zane Beatles is a guy whose evaluation was mixed from a lot of people when he got here. And I think to this point in the preseason, he's been okay, but he's also been pushed around a little bit, and I think some people have been surprised by that. And you got a guy who's basically doing his rookie season all over again at left tackle. There aren't questions on the offensive line. There are giant, gaping questions about what this team could possibly do with that part, and that affects everything else that they have. They have a quarterback that has gone 18-32 in 50 career starts. 18-32. Now, he's been better this offseason than we've seen him. In the 2 years that he's been here in Jacksonville, he's had a pretty good preseason. But in the end, he's gone 18-32. He's won 5 games as a starter in a Jaguar uniform. And that's the guy playing quarterback with a bunch of unknowns at the skill positions for this team. I mean, the offense is just one big question mark right now.
You totally stole that 5-win stat from Jaguar Trivia with Jeff and Dan.
Oh, did I?
I believe so. They were talking about that. Which Jaguar quarterback is tied? I believe it was tied for 4th. With 5 wins, something like that, or maybe in 4th place on the all-time win list for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Sure.
Your Chad Henne.
Now, with all that being said, Mike, I still think, I said it yesterday, I think the defense has the potential to be a top-10 defense, and there's going to be a lot of games where they're going to be down 17-13 or something like that in the 4th quarter and have the ball with a chance to go win the game. And I think that a handful of times they're going to do it, and a bunch of times they're not going to be able to do it because of exactly what we're talking about. And it'll be a different team again for the second half of the season when a lot of these guys have started making the adjustment, when Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee and those types of guys are more comfortable with their roles in this offense, because Marquise hasn't looked comfortable yet to me in the preseason. He's looked okay at times, but he still looks like he doesn't exactly know what his role is going to be with this team, and I'm not sure that they know yet exactly what it's going
to
look like.
I think they're trying right now to make sure they get the ball in his hands early, and we talked about it yesterday. It's like a basketball player. You get him that shot in the first couple minutes of the game, and he's more in tune. He's more into it.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking to get him into a rhythm and maybe have him, you know, do some dynamic run after the catch stuff and maybe pick up a big play early in the football game. But I think they're looking at him as a guy who's going to be most dangerous with the ball in his hand. So let's get it to him quickly and let's do it early and often. And I would expect to see that, not necessarily tonight, but when they open up in Philadelphia just about a week and a half from now, from today. Seattle and Green Bay.
I can't wait till Tuesday. We're going to be off on Monday, Mike, but Tuesday
we are
can come
off
in
on
here.
Monday. How about that?
We can preview a game that counts.
It's going to be fantastic.
And actually break down some matchups instead of just say, hey, let's see what we have to do as far as evaluating this player tonight. No more evaluation. We're talking matchups on Tuesday.
That's next Tuesday. Yes. In the meantime, Tony, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. Still talking about the preseason. What is the number one thing you'll be looking for from your Jacksonville Jaguars tonight as they take on the Atlanta Falcons? Already a lot of responses rolling in there. You can tweet at MD underscore 1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. She brought the weak stuff in on the music theme yesterday. I smacked that right into the third row so quickly.
I enjoyed it.
See if she can stump me today. Coming up. I might have even got in shade of lead with the Commodores yesterday. I was feeling so good about myself. All right, Alfie Crow from Big Cat Country going to join us for the second hour of the program today. But phone lines are open to you right now at 641-1010 Jaguar fans. The preseason mercifully coming to a close. What are you looking for from your Jags tonight? Any aspect of Jaguar football on the table for you or the NFL at large at 641-1010. We're live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Tony, I got a dollar that says you can't name that tune.
I'm not taking that bet.
I didn't say it's not even a bet. I just give you the dollar. There's no risk to you. Take a guess.
This is, I have no idea.
This is Eric Church, Two Pink Lines. How about that?
Anyone want to take a guess?
No.
At the music theme?
At the music theme today? That was prepared in advance for about 24 solid hours after yesterday.
What, 24 hours? Really?
No. No.
It seemed to me like
had about 10 seconds to go on
right,
before
I
could decide.
Right, I said,
hey, you
can tell me what the name of the song is, because I never know, I can never name that tune quickly enough. Lauren always tells me what the name of the song is and who did it, and she was still coming up with the music theme a minute ago. So I don't know. Eric Church, football is a religious experience. It's game day, and hence you're going to the Church of Everbank.
You're going down.
I'm going down in flames?
Yes.
Like to Hades?
You are 0-1.
Am I? Okay.
And you know what? I couldn't be happier about it. I don't think that. No.
No?
No.
Well, your
no.
Theme, let's just be clear, whatever it is, sucks. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So let's be clear. Actually, yesterday's theme was pretty good.
Thank you.
I just gave you more grief. Yeah, you didn't come up with it, though.
No, I did not. I asked for help, and, you know, I think finally, after he thought about it for a second, I think the general manager realized that it's not that easy to come up with a music theme every day, because it took him a little bit to come up with one.
Try coming up with a Jaguar-related question for the Facebook page.
I know, because you always ask me if I have input, and when I give you the input, you know what you say?
That sucks.
So believe me, I'm used to the constructive, I guess I'll call it, criticism, or just flat-out criticism.
Right. Well, you're a grown woman.
Absolutely.
You don't need anybody just, you know, tiptoeing around your delicate sensibility.
Not at all. You know what I need, though?
What?
Some good food and some good company today in the parking lot.
Ah, yes. Look for the lovely Lauren. Will you be wearing pink today?
I will not have pink on today. Today is a black and teal. I know. Good try, but no. Today's going to be black and teal.
You don't have the pink hat?
I don't. I thought it was in my car, but it's not. But all hopefully it's not going to rain, so hopefully I don't actually need it.
You know what I did?
What? Buy yourself a pink hat?
No, I didn't buy myself a pink hat. I leave that to my wife. My wife buys all my pink attire for me. She knows what size I am. Anyway, I had tickets to the game tonight. Now, I don't need them personally, but I left them at the house.
Oh, no.
It doesn't do anyone any good there at the house.
Nope.
Maybe you can get a courier.
I have a feeling there'll be plenty of tickets available, but I would have liked to have maybe given those away to someone.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to take my parents and then my mom's best friend, Susan, you know, now famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, Susan from the story Shut Up Randy.
Shut Up Randy.
Exactly. So we're going to have a good time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. We'll look forward to seeing Lauren Brooks today and listening to her. We've missed her on the pregame as the Jags have been on the road the last couple weeks, you know? You're still welcome to come stalk the lot. You'd be surprised, Tony, right? I mean, every time the Jags are on the road, we go out to the car or whatever, there's always people walking up saying, hey, can we watch a game here? They just think, hey, we got these new scoreboards, man. There's got to be something going on here for these road games Not in the preseason, certainly.
No, afraid not.
Not the case in the preseason. 641-1010, if you want to get in today, talk about what you want to see out of the Jags. And I will say, I just think it's, you know, mostly don't get anybody hurt is the big thing. As much as I'd like to see Blake Bortles get a lot of reps and get some development, and I'd like to see Chad Henne drive it down and stick it in the end zone a couple of times, don't lose anybody who you're going to be counting on for any period of time for this football team. We've seen enough of that over the last couple of weeks. And that's really just the case with football, right? At least if you're going to lose them and you know it's going to happen during the regular season, at least have them doing it, giving an effort that actually counts in the standings. Tony, I've got the latest from our friends at Bovada, as if I actually have friends at Bovada.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have someone who sends me the latest odds from Bovada.
Well, I have friends there, so we can call them our friends.
Do you have friends at Bovada?
No.
Who do you know at Bovada? Exactly. Joe at Bovada sent me these. These are NFL odds on individual player performance in 2014. So let's take a look at some of these. And I think more than anything, it tells you what the Vegas mindset is and what they feel the public's mindset is about these individual players.
Okay.
So we'll start with Peyton Manning. You realize how close he is to breaking Brett Favre's all-time touchdown mark?
I haven't looked at it. What is it?
We knew for you. I mean, you growing up, if I say 755 to you, what did that mean?
Is that total touchdowns?
No, that's not a football reference. The number 755.
Home runs?
Yeah, Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you knew there's certain records that you always knew, but football records are not that way, right?
No.
What's the record for yards in a season?
2103.
Now, 2003 was OJ, and that was he was the first guy that did it. I want to say it's like 2190 something, maybe 2190, but you don't really know.
I don't know.
Right? You know, it's not that, that kind of ingrained thing. Brett Favre's TD pass record is 508. That's how many he threw in his career. Peyton is 18 behind it.
Oh, that's
right
done.
Now. Oh, of course it's done. But the bet is, does he do it week 7 or before?
Oh.
Or does he do it week 8 or after? Week 7 or before, if he averages 3 per game, which he averaged more than 3 per game last year, he would break that. He would tie it in week 6.
I'd have to look at the schedule.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? Their bye comes in week 4, I want to say, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken about that. I'm trying to think about some fantasy drafts I've had recently and where the bye weeks have fallen for Monty Ball and the like. But if that's the case, that would certainly play into it. But I don't think Peyton's going to be on pace all season to
no,
throw.
No, they are week 4.
And week 4 bye. So then you'd be talking about 6 games.
Here's the defenses he's going up against in that first 6 games, too. Home against Indianapolis, he should be able to get his own against that. Home against Kansas City, that's a little bit tougher. At Seattle.
At Seattle's tough. Like, home against Kansas City, though, they pretty much had their way with the Chiefs last year, didn't they, in a
no,
couple
they
of
did.
Games?
They did. At Seattle, then the bye week, then they're home against Arizona, at the Jets, and then home against San Francisco.
Yeah, I'd take the over, kind of week 8 or after.
I would, too.
Right now, especially with the bye week falling in there. Will the Seahawks win a playoff game this season? Noting that the Super Bowl winning team has not won a playoff game in the last 8 years.
Yeah, since the Patriots went back to back.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Really. Not even a single game the next year. I would guess yes, because they look so dominant right now. And I don't think this is a team that doesn't have the look of a team that read its press clippings all season.
No, it doesn't. I don't think, for me, and I know we're going to do our NFL predictions next week, I'm leaning towards keeping San Francisco out of the playoffs entirely.
Yeah, me too. I think everybody kind of is going
and
that way.
And because of that, I don't see Arizona overtaking Seattle in the division. So if they're going to play a home playoff game, yeah, they're going to win a game in the
playoffs.
Right,
you would think so. How many different quarterbacks will start a game for the Rams in the 2014 regular season? The over-under set at 2.5. I would take the under.
I would too.
I mean, Sean Hill is played a lot of football in the National Football League, and they're pretty committed to him right now. So barring injury, I don't necessarily think that Sean Hill won't go the whole way this year. And, you know, I'm not going to try to predict injury or not, but it's not like he's locked in, but there's really nothing else on the roster that they're wanting to take a look at right now. This was supposed to be Sam Bradford's maybe make or break year in St. Louis, so they weren't planning beyond that. Your boy, Eli, will he throw more interceptions than touchdowns? You get 3-1 odds if you take yes. So it's obviously it's a longer shot to say he's actually going to throw more interceptions than
right.
TDs. Has not looked promising in the preseason.
Nope, the offensive line is still bad. That's not a bad bet.
There are a lot of quarterbacks right now, big time quarterbacks. I mean, Eli is the guy who's won two Super Bowls, and we had, you know, it was just in the past few years when we had the debate, is Eli on the cusp of joining that super elite group and
right.
what have you. Kaepernick in San Francisco, offense has struggled, looked awful. RG3 in Washington, he has personally struggled, not so much the offense, I think, as he has.
Right.
And Cam Newton, as much because of injury. He has the lingering ankle that he had surgery on, and then he's got cracked ribs. I look at his receiving core. Is it really much worse than it was last year? You had an aging Steve Smith. You replaced him with Kelvin Benjamin. You had LaFell. Now you have Cotchery. I mean, it's kind of a wash there. But they have struggled greatly. And these are three teams that big things are expected out of, particularly San Francisco and Carolina coming off a division victory for
Absolutely.
Carolina last
yeah.
year. But a lot of struggles there. Rob Gronkowski, how many games will he play during the 2014 regular season? Where do you think the over-under should be on that?
My guess would be 13.
Yeah, they said 14.5. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
I might go the under on that. All he needs to do is miss two games. And he may miss the opener still. It's not written
right.
in stone that he's playing in the opener. He's not going to play tonight. Every game, by the way, is tonight in week four of the preseason. So it'll all be over with. And you can turn your attention to college football with our permission for one weekend of the year. Nick Foles threw two interceptions all of last year.
Uh-huh.
Right? Much ballyhooed his TD to interception ratio. His over-under for total interceptions this year, 9.5.
Over.
Taking the over as well.
Yep.
And not because he threw a couple in a preseason game. It's just 10, 11 interceptions is an excellent season still.
No, it really is. And look, it's one of those things, and I've heard Prisco talk about this on the station as well, but I don't mind guys throwing picks if they're picks where you're being aggressive.
Right.
And last year, Nick Foles wasn't. And that's why the ball got protected as much as it did. And I think that's why you had the conversation with Chip Kelly this offseason saying he's not sure if Nick Foles is the guy that's going to run his offense for the next 5 years. Because I think Chip wants him to go out there and look, give his playmakers a chance to go make plays. It's great that you only threw two interceptions. We appreciate that, Nick, but we need you to be a playmaker for us. And I didn't ever feel like Foles was that. For the Eagles, I think he kept them out of a lot of trouble last year, and I think he'll take a little bit more risk with the ball this year.
I don't know. If you prorated his totals for the year, he probably would have been mid-30s on touchdowns last year. I don't know how that is not aggressive enough. I don't know what Chip Kelly expects, because he threw, what did he throw, like 27?
It was 27-2.
And he didn't start for like the first 5 weeks of the season.
Sure.
So you're talking about, you know, 35-ish touchdowns for Nick Foles. Tell the Raiders, who he threw seven against last year, that he wasn't aggressive enough. How about this? Oh, to be Trent Richardson right now. They have an over-under on his yards per carry this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Where do you think they set the over-under on his average yards per carry?
2.8.
3.5. 3.5. So
under,
you're getting a lot
under,
of space
under.
On that, right? Will Trent Richardson of the Colts rush for 850 and 1.5, that's the cutoff. 850,
under.
You're taking the under. And anything above 851 and up, you're taking the over. Under for Trent?
Under.
Man, it's such a good offense. I think he might get around 1,000 simply if he stays healthy, because I don't see, you know, an aging Ahmad Bradshaw, Vic Ballard's already out for the year. I don't think they have much behind him. I don't think they have a whole lot of alternative to turn to, but he's going to grind it out at a 3.1 yard per clip if he does get to 1,000. So it's going to be yet another long season in the Colts' backfield. And you look at that. I heard the boys talking about this morning. Indy's not a great team. Indy's got a great quarterback.
Yes, they do.
Is what they've got. You look at the rest of that team. Really, you look at this division. If Andrew Luck were in any other division and the Colts were playing, if Andrew Luck were to be lost for the season today, what would that do? For the AFC South, it'd be wide open, in my estimation. I know every prognosticator, at least the ones I've seen recently, had the Jags pick for last in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet you good money that they won't end up last in the division this year.
I don't think they do either. They wind up ahead of Houston or Tennessee.
Or both, potentially.
Yeah. They wind up ahead of one of those teams, though. And, yeah, you're right. Indianapolis, when you look at that roster, it's like, all right, they got Andrew Luck. T.Y. Hilton's pretty good. both those tight ends are all right. They really don't have an offensive line, and Robert Mathis is out for the first month. And other than that, what do they really have?
Right. It's, I mean, it's not,
it's crazy.
You know, and speaking of suspensions, the Jags keep picking up the benefit of these. Lane Johnson, we know, suspended the right tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles for the first month of the season. So they'll be without one of their starting offensive linemen. Brandon Merriweather's suspension kind of under the radar, but starting strong safety for the Washington Redskins, two-game suspension, which coincides nicely with the week two visit from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we've talked about Robert Mathis. You just mentioned him. That's the most significant one of all.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was, you know, NFL defensive MVP caliber performer last year.
Yes, he was.
And he's gone for the whole first month of the season. So the Jags catching a break on a lot of the suspension fronts right there. Of course, they, you can turn around and say, well, Ace Sanders is out. Well, Ace Sanders probably not as impactful as any of those guys I just mentioned to those particular teams right there. All right, 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we'll take a look around more of the predictions for some of these individual players early in the football season. Alfie Crow, Big Cat Country, going to join us coming up here in hour number two and get his preview of what he expects in preseason game four. Also talk to him about the start of the regular season, what the last few roster cuts will look like, and more. That's coming up in the second hour. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. You and I know this one. All right, Jet Airliner by Steve Miller Band, Tony. Eric Church, Two Pink Lines. So line. What's the line angle here? Is it
Bovada?
The Vegas lines? Is that what... is that what it is, Lauren? Is that what
oh, for
you
two.
Came up with in the final moments?
Nope.
Before you had to come up
negative.
With lines.
I'm enjoying, I'm enjoying you suffering.
Lines of scrimmage is what you're looking for. Line is offensive and defensive line play is what you'll have your eye
well,
on.
Well, I only get to choose one, so which one did I choose?
That'd be offensive line play.
Very well done.
There you go.
Boom!
So, boom.
Now you feel better, don't you?
No, I don't really. I don't really. But maybe everyone else feels better that I won't obsess about the music theme for the rest of the show today.
I felt good about it.
I'm glad you did. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. ESPN predicted the Jags to go 4-12 and finish in last place in the AFC South. Although Mike DiRocco, who wrote the story, he does not predict them to go 4-12. I think he had them going 6-10. He said, but I think they use, you know, one of those, pro football. It's, the projection is by Advanced Football Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
The ever infallible Advanced Football Analytics.
Yeah.
Has the Jags going 4-12, which I find interesting, Tony. One of the things I find interesting, Advanced Football Analytics has them once again losing the first 8 games of the season.
Oh no.
Most of those by double figures.
Oh.
Okay. Philly, a 6-point loss. Washington, a 17-point loss. Indy, a 12-point loss. San Diego, a 28-point loss.
Oh, no.
Pittsburgh, a 20-point loss. Okay, by that point, we've seen enough.
Yeah.
You think? 21-20, they give Tennessee all they can handle.
Oh, man.
But they lose that one by a point. They lose to Cleveland by 12. Now we're hurting.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins put a 10-point beating on the Jags, and that would be 0-8 at the half. And you'd be, I think there'd be some serious questioning of the regime for the first time.
Yes, there would be.
Right? I mean, because it'd be basically a replay of last season.
There were whispers about that last year. I mean, it wasn't a loud voice, but
right.
We heard from some fans that at 0-8 last year, you started getting the calls like, is this really the answer? Like, we knew it was not going to be good this year. Just, they're trying to turn around an entire roster, but 0-8 and getting beaten down the way that we're getting beaten down, we can't take it. If they started 0-8 again this year, ooh, it could get ugly.
Well, then, just apparently what they did was they kind of took the schedule from last year, erased the teams, and wrote new scores, and once again, after starting 0-8, have them winning 4 out of the next 5 games. Okay?
Okay.
Cincinnati, after all the beating the Jags had taken. They'd go on the road to Cincinnati. It's supposed to be a pretty good football team. Certainly better, I would think, than some of the ones they've already lost to,
right,
based on this projection. And they beat Cincinnati by two touchdowns.
What?
In that game.
Okay.
All right. Go to London, lose to Dallas by 18 points, 34-16.
Whatever.
Okay. America's team now is Britain's team, apparently. They would come back and beat the Colts on the road by 9.
Of course.
They would beat the Giants, which is very believable if you've seen the guy playing quarterback for the Giants these days. Wow.
Well, by this point in time, Blake Bortles will be in, so maybe
it'll
they
be
are
a,
winning
a Bortles-Nassib matchup.
That's right.
Is what that will be, by the way. 20-13, they've got them beating the Giants. They've got them beating Houston on my birthday, playing ahead, people.
Mm-hmm.
19-10, that's a home game, so I'll be available for, you know, presence and what have you,
right,
to be brought my way. They'll lose by 3 to Baltimore on the road. They'll get blown out by Tennessee at home. Final home game of the season, they lose 31-6 to the Titans.
Based on what?
I don't know. And then Houston will come in and put a knot on the Jags' head, 27-15. So they're going to get swept by the Titans. They're going to lose the final game of the season to Houston by nearly 2 full touchdowns. And that is your analytic football. What was it? Advanced Football Analytics?
Right.
Or whoever that happens
so
to be.
So they get swept by Tennessee and split with Houston and Indianapolis.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, so 2-4 in the division with victories over Cincinnati and New York Giants. At, I mean, almost a carbon copy of last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, you can make the case, could they lose to Philadelphia? Sure. Could they lose to Washington? Sure. Could they lose at home to Indy? Sure. Could they lose at San Diego? Sure. I mean, they can lose all these games. I mean, it's the National Football League. But I think with what we've seen from Washington so far, and it can change once you hit the regular season, not that impressed. Okay. I think they're very beatable. I think Indy at home is a winnable game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's not even to mention Philadelphia. I don't think Philly's world beaters, but I think I would pick Philly right now to win that game, win the season opener. More offensive firepower, more weapons there, and
no, I would
playing
too.
At home.
And again, it's something that we'll talk about a lot next week, but the thing I look for when you're talking about matchups with teams is not necessarily strength on strength, which is what I think the Jags offense against the Eagles or the Jags defense against the Eagles offense would be, but the weakness on weakness. Philadelphia was not a great defensive team last year. The Jaguars are obviously going to have all those questions coming into that game, and it's a matter of which of those units that may not be very good in 2014 comes out on top in those matchups, and I think that will determine who's going to win that game with the Jags up there in Philadelphia. But look, I think that I don't think Philadelphia is going to score 35, 40 points on the Jacksonville Jaguars. They probably wind up in the high 20s. Can the Jags get there too?
And here, by the way, they have them 23-17. They don't have that's the most reasonable score other than losing by a point to Tennessee in the first half of the season from a Jaguar perspective. Anyway.
And then getting
pretty much getting pummeled by the next four opponents in a row to the point where you would think
if it were to start 17 on the road against San Diego,
Blake Bortles may start the Pittsburgh game. It may not get to, you know, because I would think, and again, it, in a perfect world, it doesn't always work out the way you want it to, the way you'd plan for it. I guess the Jags would plan that Blake Bortles wouldn't play this year because Chad Henne's leading him to a double-digit win season, right?
When they say ideal situation, I do believe that's what they're trying to say.
Yes. In this case, I think you want him to start at home, if at all possible.
Yeah.
His first game, Pittsburgh Steelers could be that game on October 5th. And I think if it were to go that way, lose by 6, lose by 17, lose by 12, lose by 28, the first 4 weeks of the season, and you're not really producing much in the way of offense in those games. I don't think the defense, I'd be shocked if somebody's going to hang 45 points on this defense if they're healthy in the first month of the season. I really would. I'd be shocked. San Diego, Philly, Washington, notwithstanding, whatever, any of them.
Are three really good offenses, but
they all have the capability of putting up big points. They all have the capability. We've seen RG3 play at a very high level. We've seen Nick Foles play at a very high level. It was just last year that we saw Phillip Rivers bounce back and play to his previous high level that he hadn't the season before. Of course, they do lose Ken Whisenhunt out there. I think he worked wonders with him. I do actually think that if Jake Locker stays healthy this year, he's going to have the best year of his career. I know that's probably a low bar, you know, so it's easy to say that, but I think it's going to be a surprisingly good year for Jake Locker, at least statistically. I don't know how many wins and losses that translates to, but Whisenhunt is a guy that just follow the track record of where he goes, quarterbacks perform.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, but one of Locker's big things, obviously, has been staying healthy. Jags Super Bowl odds, according to the same folks here, this is by the Las Vegas Hilton Sportsbook, 200-1, and the over-under win total set at 5 as of right now. They also do a little thing here. The Jags, this is according to Field Yates. There's so many people contribute to these stories. Field mm-hmm. Yates is like a New England-based reporter.
Yeah.
Why he's the one who's answering these instead of DeRocco, I don't really know, the guy who actually covers the team. But it says the Jags will win 8 if Gus Bradley's Seattle blueprint on defense pans out and running back Toby Gerhardt is the number one back they need. Okay? You know, I think that's yet to be determined. I mean, Toby Gerhardt, we hope, we think he can handle the workload. Will he be productive with the workload? Will the offensive line allow him to be productive with the workload?
Right. If Toby Gerhardt is the number one that they thought they got, it's because the offensive line is doing its job. And if that comes together, then, yeah, I think this is a football team that could potentially win 8 games.
Right. If Toby Gerhardt's running for 1,200 yards this year and 8 touchdowns, means that they're in position to get those goal line opportunities.
Right.
And, you know, he's probably not grinding out 3 yards a carry to get to 1,200 yards, you would think. And, you know, I think the defensive blueprint is coming together. The question is, will they get pressure up front with those 4 down linemen, or will they have to get a little bit more exotic in guys that they send? Pretty interesting listening to, I think it was Loggy the other day, talking about Andre Branch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just total blown assignment. Wrong side of the field.
Yeah.
And then he did a smart thing.
Well, you brought
being
up
out
the
of
play,
position.
And he just started laughing.
He started laughing and shaking his head. And, you know, it was a great play. Regardless, it was, you know, it's one of those deals where, typically, you know, the coach is yelling at you, no, yes, yes, like don't throw that ball into that. Oh, it bounced off a defender right in the hands of the receiver. Yes, don't take that shot. Oh, it hit the bottom of the net. That's fine. So he was completely on the wrong side of the field. Never mind out of position. He was just on the wrong side of the field and did a smart thing. He watched Stafford's eyes, dropped back almost 30 yards in coverage and made a hell of a play.
Yeah, and I know the coaches have been pointing out Andre Branch all offseason, and again, just like we were talking about with the quarterback situation, look, they know more than we do about what's going on behind the scenes, but I can tell you watching the 3 games, I have not been impressed with Andre Branch. He gets caught up in the wash on the line of scrimmage a lot. The plays that he's making in the running game, I mean, they're hustle plays. He's an athletic guy, but it's because he can't put himself in a position to go make a play at the line of scrimmage or behind it with the moves that he currently has on the defensive line.
I thought
line.
He got good pressure this past game, though. At least on a couple of instances, and sometimes that's all it takes for you to have a big game.
I can remember one play where he got around the quarterback.
I thought there were two plays where he kind of flushed Stafford. One time it was on a combo situation. It might have been Alualu, but I'm not 100% certain who got in there. And he kind of almost jumped over him and chased Stafford out of the pocket. But there was another instance I recall as well, where he got pretty good pressure. And he, at the time, you watch it and you combine that with the interception, you're thinking, wow, this guy's really standing out tonight. And, that's why we go to the tape with Jeff Loggeman on Tuesdays.
Listen, and then, wonder how much he plays tonight.
Branch?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I guess we'll
I'm
find
curious.
Out.
I'll have my eyes on him when he's on the field because, like I said, I haven't
you,
been
you get any sense that he's in any trouble to make the roster,
no,
though?
No, I just want to see him get better. I mean, if they talked about him getting better all offseason and in training camp that he looked good, then I'd like to see it on the field. I don't feel like I have yet.
All right, finally, Jags will win 4 which is what they predict anyway, but I guess as opposed to, say, 6, if they're talking about winning 8 or 4, they'll win 4 if no wide receiver surprises with a breakout year to take the pressure off of Chad Henne and Blake Bortles is forced to play. Wait a minute. All of a sudden now, if Blake Bortles is forced to play, I thought everyone said that the Jags are making a big mistake, that Bortles gives them the best chance to win. So I would think then, if he is then forced to play, yes, maybe you're 0-whatever, but now you have a much better chance to win games. Just the contradictions at times. Very tough to deal with. All right, this date in football history coming up. Alfie Crow from Big Cat Country going to visit us here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. We'll do that next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by the best fence company at Jacksonville. Tony, what's the worst thing that can happen in the preseason?
Injury.
Second worst thing that can happen in the preseason?
Overtime.
Yes! Very good. I didn't have to go far. I couldn't really dispute your first point there. The first NFL preseason sudden-death football game occurred in 1955. Shame on them, okay? The Rams beat the Giants 23-17.
Making overtime history. That's the New York Giants, buddy.
Nobody wants overtime. I don't think any, except maybe there are a couple of maniacal coaches that might like the extra evaluation.
What
time.
Year was that?
1955.
Really?
So there you have it. First, that's all I got for you on this date in football history. Today, we'll make some history if you're coming to watch Blake Bortles. The last time, you know he's going to play for a while. By the way, our buddy Irish Jaguar on Twitter, Stevie Howland, at Irish Jaguar. If you're a Twitterer, a tweeter, and you're a UCF fan, and you're going to the game, who are they playing? Penn State? Is it Penn State that they're playing?
I believe
this weekend
it is, yeah.
In Wembley, in London. He'll be going to the game. He's looking to hook up with some of you folks and probably talk Blake Bortles with you. So be on the lookout for the Irish Jaguar if you're over there. I would imagine if you're going, you're probably already over there.
Doesn't mean you're not listening.
Absolutely doesn't mean you're not listening.
What up? Get in contact with that Irish Jaguar.
Hello, people preparing for the UCF game. Right now, what time is it? It's 4 in the afternoon. They're all drunk. Right now, I believe.
You got it.
That's how they roll in Europe, from what I'm told. The Best Fence Company brings you this date in football history. Their mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality product for you at a competitive price and provide unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate from the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville at your convenience by calling them at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net. For more info, that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
After fighting to get his suspension reduced and at the very least, hopefully, thrown out, Josh Gordon, the Cleveland Browns, and fantasy owners all finally found out yesterday that Roger Goodell and the NFL are upholding Gordon's one-year suspension for a violation of the league's substance abuse policy. Gordon led the NFL in receiving yards last year despite having been suspended for the first two games. His suspension leaves the Browns with Austin Miles, Andrew Hawkins, and Nate Burleson as their top options at wide receiver, which is to say they have no options at wide receiver.
And I know you know what his name is, but that's the problem when you give a guy two first names. It's Miles Austin, not Austin Miles.
Oh, sorry.
I know you know that.
Yeah.
But when you said it, I'm like, it sounded so right. You know, it probably sounds better that way.
By the way, news coming out that Josh Gordon apparently wants to explore the idea of playing in the CFL.
As reported by Chris Mortensen, who doesn't deem it necessary to include the fact that, A, that's against the rules of the NFL and the CBA if you're under contract without permission from your team, and B, the CFL will not allow you to play if you're under contract to another league. So,
no.
0-for-2, Mort. Nice job.
Yeah, and Jarrell Casey, a third-round pick in 2011, and the Tennessee Titans have agreed to a four-year contract extension worth $36 million, $20.5 million of that guaranteed. Casey has 16 sacks in his three seasons, including 10.5 with the Titans last year.
All right. Had a big year last year and shifting responsibilities in that shifting defense for the Tennessee Titans, but they feel like he is a keeper. He'll be the highest paid Titan on the roster this year. All right. That is your Honda Drive around the NFL. Let's say hello to Alfie Crow from Big Cat Country. Hello, Alfie Crow.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good, ready for the final preseason game to be done and over with.
So yeah, aren't we all, right?
Watch real football.
I mean, it's down to now, and it's important, certainly for the guys trying to earn a roster spot. Nobody denies that, but the typical fan, let's be honest, doesn't care about the guys who are going to occupy the last few spots on the roster, because typically they're not going to make it through the whole season with you anyway. You're going to look to upgrade, or you're going to have an injury at another position, and those guys are always going to be susceptible to the Turk.
Right. Pretty much the only people who like it are those guys who are trying to fill that roster spot. It's more film for them, so they would probably like an overtime game.
Some coaches, they might not like overtime, but some coaches probably feel like you need the full four-game evaluation. I think, I mean, what do they used to play? Six, right? I'm sure they'll find a way to manage.
Wow.
When they eventually.
That would be so awful.
I mean, right. I mean, but that's what they did. They did six and they had two-a-days and all that stuff going on. So.
Well, everyone was working at the grocery store in the offseason at that point in time, too.
Yeah,
you know, it's
true.
Funny. I was watching NFL Network last night and I very rarely watch any of the NFL Network shows, but for whatever reason, I flipped over there and Sean O'Hara and Sean Merriman were talking about the difference for them in their rookie years going into that fourth preseason game. And O'Hara was an undrafted free agent with the Giants, and he said, you know, I was playing for my life. I was like, this could be the last time I'm ever going to be on an NFL field. I'm going to get three quarters of action. This is it for me. They asked Sean Merriman how he approached the fourth game of the preseason. He said, you know, it was like, I want to get my 10 plays over with and then look at a couple ladies in the stands. I mean, it's a completely different situation for different guys.
Tonight, other than the obvious of don't get anybody hurt, that is important to this team's getting off to the best start possible. What will you be looking for in particular from the guys who'll be on the field for as long as they'll be on there?
Well, as far as I know, Buenco is probably going to start at center tonight. So a good look at him, a good look at Linder, because those two guys might, I mean, Linder will be, but Buenco could be your opening day starter.
If you had
center.
To bet, will he be?
I would say so.
I think so, too.
I think McClendon's been okay, but I think Buenco's been really close to him, and if he's close, you might as well play the young guy.
Right, and also, that way he gets to focus on one position.
Right, exactly.
And you've got a guy who's a little bit more veteran who can be your swing guy in the interior in Jacques McClendon.
And so I think Buenco will be a guy to watch just to see if he can hold down that spot, which apparently no one wants because no one's been able to hold it down.
I think they want it.
Yeah.
It's just, maybe not that you're not choosing from five potential All-Pros, perhaps.
Nah, not even close.
So other than that, defensively, Tony was talking about Andre Branch.
What, yeah.
You had an early projection. And I'm not trying to pick on you. I mean, I give you credit for sticking
him.
Your neck out. You had him cut.
Yeah.
And this was like,
I had him cut last year.
This was before OTAs even.
Right. And it was before they cut Jason Babin. So I had Jason Babin taking basically Branch's spot.
Right.
And so they've now flipped. I don't think there's any way Branch is cut now unless some team, you know, shockingly calls and wants to
and gave him something. Right.
But yeah, I'd like to see him actually rush the passer off the edge and not on one of those stunts, which seems to be the only way he gets to the quarterback.
Right.
But, I can't tell you how hard I laughed at his interception last week. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, did you hear Logman talk about it? He said he was on the complete wrong side of the field. For one thing, he was supposed to be on the left side.
Better.
He lined up on the complete wrong side of the line. And so he realized,
Whoops.
What, I better do something here, make myself useful rather than just kind of stand around in a space I'm not supposed to be occupying. So he saw Stafford kind of look into that side of the field. He thought, all right, there goes Calvin. Good chance he throws it in his direction. And he just ran backwards. I give him credit, though. I mean,
that
still.
Makes it better.
Look, he made the best of a bad situation. Yeah. He did make a heck of a play.
It was a super athletic play. I joked after that he looks more athletic whenever he's not rushing the passer. But. Yeah, it was a great play.
Well, he
by
did.
Him.
He did in that instance. No question
about
it.
Maybe they should try him at safety or tight end.
Probably not going to be a regular
thing. They can use a tight end.
But, nevertheless, it does look like, would you say they're going to keep 10 defensive linemen right now?
I would say so. I think you keep four Leos, and I think it's, Branch Clemens, Ryan Davis, and,
Chris Smith.
Chris Smith, the rookie, and then two of each of the other linemen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Chris Smith is my best guess early in the season. Going to be tough for him to be.
Yeah,
a game
I think
active.
He'll probably work in the latter part of the season. If he can show he can do some stuff inside like Ryan Davis does, he might get a little more.
Right.
But I think you'll have three active on game day. It'll probably be Branch, Clemens, and Davis.
Overall, though, and we, Tony and I talked about this a lot over the last few weeks. If you look at this rookie class,
looks good.
It looks good. Looks like they're going to get. I mean, nobody looks like a whiff. And
right.
It's not like you expected Chris Smith to come in here and push Chris Clemens out of the lineup, right.
Right?
So, I mean, anything you've seen from him, I think, is a plus at this point in time. And the one thing that they've seen, if they're going to use him in sub-packages as a pass rusher, is a quick first step off of the edge.
Yeah, he knows how to time the snap. That was what he did at the Senior Bowl where he looked, because he never looked that good at Arkansas. They may have run a different system, had him do different stuff, but The Senior Bowl, him and Dee Ford were the two guys who could guess the snap count and jump the snap. He was doing that in the first couple preseason games. He was offside almost every time, but they only called it like once, which is great. That's fine. But yeah, he's got that first step you look for. So now they just got to work on the other, you know, repertoire pass rush moves.
All right. He's Alfie Crow, with Big Cat Country. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today rolls on. We'll take a look at some more things to watch for and try to figure out exactly who is firmly on that roster bubble for the last few spots on the Jaguar roster when we return. 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board, that's the way to do it here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hi, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, joined by Alfie Crow. I like to call him the most dangerous man in radio. He's not really that dangerous. He's kind of, he probably doesn't want you to know that he's probably halfway decent sort. But it's all right. I enjoy it. Do you enjoy your reputation of living on the fringes?
I do. It's always fun when I meet random people. They're like, oh, hey, are you Alfie? And sometimes I'm like, no, who's that?
Just what the reaction is.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Alfie BCC, of course, Big Cat Country is where you find him. And you were just saying here a minute ago, you're really looking to determine who do you think could be a surprise cut on this football team.
I'm trying to think, and, you know, Mike Harris was kind of a name cut, but I think most of us kind of knew he was going to get squeezed out with all the talent in the secondary. I was just saying Brewster is not really a surprise anymore. You said he would be surprise keep, and I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost become the expected now that
right.
Mike Brewster will not be a part of this football team.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head who would be surprise cut. And, I mean, unless it's somebody like Mike Brown, I don't really know that there is going to be a surprise cut.
And we talked about him a little bit earlier. Once they start running him out there for punt returns, you wonder, does he need to, are they just looking for an answer there, or does he need to show some value beyond what he brings to the football team?
I think with Doss being out and Sanders being out there, just seeing what else they have there. I guess they know they have Will Blackman, but he's primarily you're starting nickel, so you don't want to throw him out there too much in the preseason, but
and I mean, you know, it's only a small sample, but I think Blackman let it hit in front of him and roll
right.
three times
right.
in 2 weeks.
I don't think he's returned punts in quite a while.
No.
So I think the last time he did it was back when he was in Green Bay.
And in that situation, sometimes all you want if your primary guy is out,
catch it.
Just catch it, right?
Yeah, just fair catch
it. But don't
it.
Let it hit. You know, don't
no.
let it hit. Go, come up, catch it, maximize your field position, just don't make the
but
big
I'm
mistake.
I'm trying to think of I think the roster's pretty easy to cut right now. I mean, you may have some arguments at the back end of linebacker and back end of the offensive line, but overall, I think your five receivers are Robinson, Hearns, Shorts, Lee, and Mike Brown to me, and they may keep a six in Tandon Doss just if he's healthy.
I would think if Tandon Doss is healthy, he does stay.
Yeah, I would think so. But other than that, I think they'll keep six and keep Doss on there because the coaching staff seems to love Mike Brown. I know Sullivan loves him.
Kerry Taylor's had a nice offseason.
He has,
I
but I think he's kind of, he is what he is. I mean, I think him and Brown are sort of,
I think they're
kind of
similar guys, right?
Yeah.
Cause I look at Brown, I'm like, all right, I mean, he's a nice player, but I don't know if there's anything.
And I think both can play outside and in the slot.
Right.
So maybe he wanted to return punts to show, hey, I'm a little more valuable.
If I were guessing, though, I would agree with these six guys, including Tandon Doss,
right.
and Mike Brown is most likely one of them. Because, again, in addition to Cecil, who let's stay healthy for a period of time, you
right.
know, and but he's right now he's healthy, and that's great. Even when Allen Robinson is fully healthy, it's three rookies in
right.
your next four. So having one more veteran guy who's played a little football for you, I think, would make coaching staff feel a little more comfortable with that.
Yeah, and I think they'll probably go lighter at maybe linebacker or offensive line. Well, I guess with Pastor Hurt, you kind of have to go a little heavy there. But yeah.
Does a guy like Sam Young make the team initially? Because you've got two tackles and your third guy's not going to be available
to
you early.
I think they may go heavy on the offensive line right away because Pastor's out. I think Pastor will be back by week two, probably week three at the latest. And Bradfield's perfectly capable at right tackle, but you don't really have anyone.
That's a tough position
that.
To go in if
right.
one of those guys gets hurt in
right.
game.
Right, so they may keep a guy like Sam Young in there who's, I think, played both spots in preseason and camp. So, yeah, you're going to have to with Pastor out.
Drew Nowak,
I like Drew Nowak. I know Loggeman's a fan of his too.
Yeah.
I was a fan of him when he was a defensive tackle here. I thought he looked pretty good, and they switched him over.
And that's one of the things he keeps pointing to. He says, you know, despite the fact that you've seen him now for a couple years,
he does a good job.
He's a defensive lineman,
and he's always
by trade for the longest time until recently.
And he's always gone in with the second team offensive line and held down that left guard spot. So I was a little surprised they didn't put him in the mix a little bit at right guard. But I guess if they figure Linder's going to start at right guard, they'd rather get Linder the reps there.
And one of the first practices that he attended, I want to say it was a week ago Sunday, Cody Booth, Ron O'Halloran reported that that practice was running with the second team at left tackle.
Right, he's like a super athlete, ex-tight end, offensive tackle, so he could be a guy that they like just, you know, as a project type guy. But yeah, I don't think there's many tough cuts on the way this roster is.
Running back position, Jordan Todman has looked much better in practices than he has
in
the preseason
games. He's been very disappointing in the preseason. I know Storm Johnson has struggled a little bit, but to me that's still him as a rookie acclimating to the speed of the game. He's a little hesitant, but Todman hasn't really done anything in the game.
He really, and right, at this point, do you have the feeling, though, that they feel like they know he's a known commodity to them?
I think so, and I think some of the tough running has been, you know, the flux on the interior of the offensive line that makes it tough to run.
How much are you concerned about just the run game in general getting off to a good start this year based on what you've seen so far?
After watching Toby run against the Lions where he was breaking like four tackles at a time, I'm not as concerned as I was.
But he did that on a couple of those runs and he still ended up with 32 yards and 10 carries with the broken tackles.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a guy too who he's going to get better the more he gets the ball. But from what I can remember, they've always struggled in the run in the preseason. And I know Maurice has talked about it in the past and that you're not really doing some of the blocking concepts that you're going to do in the regular season. You're kind of man-on-man blocking and pulling and not really doing their cutting or their zone stuff in the preseason. So, I mean, that's probably my biggest concern offensively is the running game and run blocking in general, because I think pass blocking, they've actually been pretty good.
Yeah, I think they've been decent in that regard. And, you know, Loggeman talked about this as well, that the lack of 2-a-days, the reduced contact that you're allowed to have in training camp practice, he says, hurts the running game. The running game's used to hit week one, and the passing game would need to catch up.
Right, exactly.
And the running game would be mid-season form right out of the gates, and it's not that way anymore. Of course, the NFL probably likes it that way. I mean, their emphasis is on throwing the football regardless. Tight end, is that a spot where they may look?
I think that's a waiver wire
spot. Wandering eyes.
You have Mercedes. I know Clay Harbor's hurt, but they like Clay Harbor. And then after that, you probably keep Barden for now unless somebody gets cut.
That's what I would think at the moment, right?
Yeah, I think Marcel Jensen's going to wind up on the practice squad. I think they like him as a longer-term project guy. He flashed early and then kind of disappeared. But, yeah, I think linebacker and I think tight end are probably the two spots they go looking at the waiver wire.
Yeah, Clay Harbor, the week he got hurt, might have been the most targeted receiver on the football
team. I was so happy with that pickup. I was a big fan of Clay Harbor's because he's that flex move tight end that they haven't really had in a long, long time. Since I guess you can consider George Reister that maybe.
Yeah.
But they've needed that guy to complement Mercedes because Mercedes is that perfect in-line tight end.
Defensively, we talked about 10 guys up front, and I think that group is pretty set.
They cut Aluala yet?
As well. yeah, I know you say that sarcastically, but I know how people
used to
are.
Get killed for that last year, saying he wasn't going to get cut.
Right. Oh, and I mean, you can argue that he's had maybe the best preseason of any defensive lineman.
I think him and Roy Miller have been the two best defensive linemen.
And Roy Miller's never, unless you really listen to what the coach is saying, you're really honing in on
him.
And
I don't ever notice him until the second or third watch because the first live watch, you're just ball watching. You're not really looking at stuff. But because last year he played, we didn't know till the end of the season, but he literally played with one arm since like the Seattle game. And there, you can tell a huge difference now that he's finally healthy.
But you're going to have Red, you're going to have Roy, you're going to have Sendarek, provided he's healthy. You're going to have Chris Clemens up front, Aluwalu, Avery Jones.
Yeah, I think Avery Jones probably, DeAndre Coleman might sneak on there. He's had a good preseason, but I think they like Avery's versatility.
Ziggy Hood.
Yeah, Ziggy Hood will be on there too.
And we talked about Andre Branch, so at least Ryan Davis and Chris Smith, if you're keeping the four Leos, and that's pretty much your group right there.
Right, and I think the where you can come into some arguments are after the first four linebackers, because you're going to have Watson, Leroy Reynolds, Posluszny, and Telvin Smith. Geno Hayes, I think, sticks another year. And then after that, you can kind of find, I mean, Stupar is a really good special teams player.
JT Thomas, though, if Posluszny were to miss a month, who would you rather have playing middle linebacker right now?
Leroy Reynolds.
Okay. But, all right, if you're looking at Stupar versus Thomas, though.
See, that's tough, because on the field, I'd rather have Thomas, but on special teams, I'd rather have Stupar, so. That's one of those spots where they're going to have to decide, do they want to keep a guy because of his special teams, or do they want to keep a guy who's not as good on special teams but better on the field of play?
That's one, again, right, where you could keep, you could see five, you could see six,
And they could go light there initially because they may have to go heavy somewhere else, like the offensive line or receiver.
Right, especially if they've got five healthy guys there,
right,
and you feel like you're going to be okay, because in a lot of, you know, sub packages, you're bringing in a nickel defensive back and things like that anyway. And then the secondary, I think a lot of people think, you know, obviously Mike Harris already gone, but.
Right, and I think that was expected. I thought he was a good player. He just doesn't fit what they want to do.
And safety, you talk about special teams. That's the one thing with Przinski that people overlook.
I still don't think he's going to make it.
You don't?
No. I think he's okay at special teams. I don't think he's like. Some people try to make it out like he's like some special teams ace, like Kasim Osgood was, like a great gunner and all. He's okay at special teams. I think they kept him last year because there was really no one else. But I think this year you have guys like Sherrod Martin, who's a veteran who can do both. And then Loston from LSU, he's also pretty good on special teams. But Przinski's been getting in like the fourth quarter now lately and stuff, so.
Josh Evans as well, same thing.
I think your top three are Evans, Cyprian, and Guy in no particular order, and then you figure out who that fourth safety
between
is
Martin
be.
And Loston.
I think so. I think it's going to wind up being Martin just because he's a veteran, and they'd feel comfortable if they had to play him out there.
And at corner, I think they, from what you hear them talk about, they like Rashad Reynolds.
Yeah.
They like Jeremy Harris, but numbers game here as well, depending on how many you keep, because you got Gratz, you got Ball. You got Blackman, Demetrius McCray's making this football team, and I would expect Jeremy Harris to make this football team. Are you keeping six with Rashad Reynolds, or is he a practice squatter?
He could be. Him and Harris, I think, are both practice squad eligible since Harris was on IR last year. So it could be a matter of you keep one of those guys, and then the other guy winds up on the practice squad.
Both backup quarterbacks, I mean, when I say that, Stanzi and Morris, practice squad fodder for you, or is it going to be maybe one and you cut Stanzi loose, and if you had an injury, you might go try to re-sign him at some point?
Well, I think with the new practice squad rules, I think Stanzi was eligible anyway.
He is eligible,
but with the new rules, it makes him eligible, I think, further than he would have been. So I would keep Stanzi. Morris, I know he had that connection with Fish, but he hasn't really shown much of anything. He was awful in the one game he really got a lot of snaps in. Not like Stanzi was that much better.
I like Morris's athleticism. I like his big arm.
Right,
I think
he's
the
got
best
a big
pure
arm
of any of these guys.
I joked when he came into the game, like, all right, here's Stephen Morris. We're going to get a spectacular touchdown or an awful interception.
Right. And, you know, that's kind of what he's been. But
I mean, with the practice squad expanding, maybe they keep two. I mean, I doubt it, but.
You think Stanzi would be the more likely guy?
I would guess so, because he's been the guy who's come in first the majority of the time. And in practice, I think he got more reps than Morris did.
I think there is something to developing, even if you've got the quarterback of the future in Blake Bortles, and you've got, you know, maybe a long-term backup even in Chad Henne, if things work out the way you envision. You know, for years we talk about, when's this team going to draft another quarterback just to develop one, you know? So there's nothing wrong if you want to try to develop Stephen Morris into something.
Right, exactly.
A la what the Patriots have done with several guys in recent years.
That they've swindled teams out of draft picks for.
You know, hey, Castle went to the Pro Bowl with Kansas City.
Never, ever trade with the Patriots.
Went to the Pro Bowl. I don't know. Tommy's mad today because Logan Mankins got shipped out for a fourth rounder. Belichick had to show him who's boss. My guess is, despite how much he praised Logan Mankins yesterday, if he really felt that he was playing to that level that he described him at, He would not have taken a fourth round pick, no. For the guy. I think they could have managed a salary cap around that. Jaguars today, wants to remind you, got the photo contest going on the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/Jaguars today. Foundation Professionals of Florida give you an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to the Jags regular season home opener versus the Indianapolis Colts. Just post a picture of your vehicle decked out in a Jaguar motif, and the ones we like the best at the end of the week will go into a drawing with our other weekly photo contest winners for that pair of tickets to go see the Jags open up their 2014 home campaign with Indianapolis. Alfie Crow is here with us from Big Cat Country. I'm Mike Dempsey along with Fat Tony. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day, asking you, what are you most looking forward to in tonight's game? Maybe it's just getting the preseason wrapped up. We'll discuss that when we return on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Ah! I've already got this one, Tony. I already knocked it out of the park. Offensive line, what Lauren Brooks will be looking at tonight and perhaps examining in depth on the next edition. Helmets and Heels.
That's right.
Coming up. Alfie, you're probably not aware of this new program.
I am.
Got on 1010. You are.
I listened to the, really? The debut show.
Did you?
I haven't listened since then.
Doesn't get promoted very much.
That means you didn't really like it, did you, Alfie?
No, I'm usually busy on Tuesday nights.
He thought so. Richard Miller was still on in that hour. That's his guy.
All right. Thanks for listening to the first one.
Miller on Sports. We all listen. Warren, you know that. We just don't like to give you much credit.
I hardly ever listen to Richard's show if it makes you feel better.
See? Alfie doesn't even like this show except when he's on. But that's all right. He's got an opinion, and certainly he's been covering this team for a long time. And we'll look at I looked a little further down in the odds. You gave me the tip to scroll down to the bottom. They've got some individual player odds from the Las Vegas sports books on what the Jags individual players will do this year. We'll take a peek at those coming up. But today we asked folks what they're most looking forward to tonight. To me, it's just, again, number one key is just don't get anybody hurt. That matters.
No major injuries.
To this football team. That's the big thing. And then I think a lot of people want to see Blake play, but there are other things they're looking for too.
Sure. On Twitter we got from at Irish Jaguar touchdowns. Hashtag Jaguars today.
Good one.
From Common Denominator, everyone to stay healthy. Hashtag Jaguars today. From The Dude, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Robbie Smith, we got hashtag Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Jason, we got a center to step up and make that job his own. Hashtag Jaguars today. From ND, we got Luke Bowenko, an offensive line play. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag run the ball. From Dwight Schrude, we got good center play. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Black Dog, we got my number one thing. It's quarterback protection. Hashtag a solid pocket. Hashtag no sacks. Hashtag no life flight on the field. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Justin, come out injury free. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag four preseason games is stupid. From Alex, we got I want to see whoever Toby's backup is going to be separate himself. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from Eric, no injuries. Then I want to see Bortles play for a while in offensive line growth. Hashtag Jaguars today.
All right. Let me see if I can get to some of these responses here. Computer is dragging a little bit for me on the Facebook page, Tony. So you know what? I'm not going to get to. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of the same ones. Were I able to load that, though? I think offensive line. I mean, that's people have focused in on the middle of that offensive line. And I think everybody, you know, it's fun because football fans now, if they choose to be, can be as savvy as anybody who covers the National Football League. You know, all the information's out there for
you.
So the Bowenko, McClendon, Brewster, Linder quartet and how they're all going to fit into the plans for the Jacksonville Jaguars has been well debated and will play out tonight as well. Again, barring injury, I would say Bowenko's your starting center, as we discussed earlier, and Brewster is – would he be practice squad eligible?
I don't think so. I think he's played and been active for too many games.
Do you know what the strict limits are?
I think you can't have more than two accrued seasons, which I believe is four games in a year.
So if you can have been in the league maybe for 3 years, but if you haven't played,
I think you, Right, and if you haven't been on a practice squad for, I think, two consecutive seasons, but they just changed all the rules, so I don't know how accurate that is.
Right, that's all right.
They expanded
probably
to
more
10.
In the ballpark than I would have been.
They changed it to it can be guys who have more than two accrued seasons, or it's all convoluted.
Tony, what are you looking most forward to tonight, or what are you going to be looking out for tonight?
Well, I'm looking forward, like everyone else, to seeing Blake Bortles play a little bit more, since we don't know when we're going to get the opportunity to see that again.
Could be the last time.
Could be. In an ideal world.
As Chad
that's
Henne
what we keep being
becomes
told.
A perennial Pro Bowler.
In an ideal world, it'll be the last time we see Blake until next offseason. But, look, the interior of the offensive line, obviously, it's still a big question, as the entire offensive line to me is still, as far as what they're going to look like when we get to the season. So I'll be watching for that. I think that it is interesting to watch the back end of the linebacker rotation right now with JT Thomas and Nate Stupar and how those guys are playing. I'm not sure how much, if any, we're going to see Dakota Watson. I thought he looked all right last week, and maybe that gives him the flexibility to move Leroy Reynolds back to the inside if there is an injury to Puzlesny, which makes it easier for them to go with Stupar instead of JT if they feel like he helps them on special teams. But, I mean, there's a lot to look for tonight, and the coaches are going to be evaluating special teams more than anything else, and I don't evaluate special teams all that much. So.
No. I skip through those. Whatever.
Logman says it's the first thing you're supposed to watch. That's why we have Jeff Logman on Tuesday. Tell us what he saw.
I don't know what I'm watching on special teams, so I wouldn't be any use.
By the way, the fan feedback spotlight brought to you, as always, by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Tom Bush BMW holding a certified pre-owned sales event. The Certified Edge sales event is going on for the remainder of August and all through September. You can enjoy 1.9% APR and up to $1,500 credit on many 2011 and 2012 certified pre-owned BMWs from Tom Bush BMW. We appreciate the whole family of dealerships, including Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, and Tom Bush Mini as well. You can follow them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors or learn more at TomBush.com. Mike Dempsey, Alfie Crow, Fat Tony here with you for a few more minutes. Jaguars preseason game 4 tonight. The boys in Vegas set the over-under on 3.5. On Blake Bortles. I believe your description on the break was pound the over.
Pound the over on that.
That one.
I think it's pretty easy that he starts more than three games this year.
Unless Henne surprises and keeps him, you know, I think if you keep, if the team is 7-7 through 14 games, I'm just talking mathematically here, I think they'll still be in playoff contention in the AFC.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be eliminated.
They
now, I'm not saying they're going to be 7-7, and you can be 7-7 in spite of your quarterback play.
That's
as
true.
Well.
But so. I still think if they're winning in spite of Chad Henne, that's tough.
It's going to be tough to make a move if they're winning football games.
But I mean, if he's not playing well, I mean, because they won 5 games in spite of Blaine Gabbert, so.
what would be your best guess on?
I would say
when we're gonna see Blake
against the Browns would be my best
guess. Week 7.
Yeah, a lot of people are picking Week 3 against the Colts for the home opener, but I can't. If they're really gonna go with Henne Week 1, which it looks for sure they are, I can't see them yanking him out after just 2 games unless he's just awful.
Right.
So I think it'll
a Luke McCown level of performance.
Yeah, unless he throws like 3 picks against Philly and they get the doors blown off and then they go and lose to a team I think they should beat.
Yeah, I think Washington. They certainly can beat the Washington Redskins.
If they go lose and he's bad again, then maybe. But I, even for Chad Henne, he's never been like awful consecutively. So I would say week 7?
Week 7 for Cleveland.
I would say about week 7.
And the thing about that obviously it will depend. They could be 4-2 for all we know, and then it's not even a conversation. But if that is a conversation that week, you'll have played out of 6 games, 4 on the road.
Right.
So the remaining 10 games, you get 6 at home. That's a pretty favorable situation for a rookie quarterback.
And they've said he's going to be getting some first team reps in practice. He's going to be running the scout team in practice. So they'll know 5-6 games in when he's ready or if he's going to have to sit the whole year.
Skill guys for the Jags, other than the quarterback position, Vegas puts the over-under for Toby Gerhart at 925.5 yards, which I believe was at 75 or 125 more than Trent Richardson was expected.
Trent Richardson was 850
Really?
And a half.
Was it 8 feet? So, yeah, so 75 more yards they project for Toby
Gerhardt.
Trent's going
to need, what, 500 carries?
He may in fact need that. I would take the under on the yards per carry average, which is 3.5 for Trent. The other one that they have for Toby is 7 touchdowns.
I would probably take over on the touchdowns and under on the yardage.
He's going to get work at the goal line.
Right.
There's no question, but how many times are you going to be in that position at the goal line?
That's
true. And you're still going to have Allen Robinson and Mercedes Lewis, two big, you know, jump ball type targets, fade targets.
Right.
So,
if I were to bet on one, I think I would bet on the touchdowns more so than the yardage. I think he's going to get a lot of carries, but until we see the interior line consistently run block, it's going to be hard to envision him getting close to 1,000 yards.
I'll be curious to see how often they target him in the passing game as well.
Yeah, and how much they rotate. If it's going to be Todman or Denard, how often they rotate those guys in and out.
I think they want to get Denard touches.
Good. I think Denard's looked really good.
He has. I credited that first touchdown to Jed Fish more than anything.
Right.
Because it was such a good play call at the right moment. And he basically, you're
just
a fast guy, run past the corner here. Didn't really have to do much, but he has played pretty well, I think.
He's ran between the tackles pretty well, which I wasn't sure he was going to be able to do, but. And he's still got that speed where if he hits a lane and somebody misses a tackle or doesn't do their assignment, he's gone.
Cecil Shorts. I mean, so much is predicated on whether or not he can stay on the field this year.
I think that one's, what, 800 yards?
800 yards is the over-under. If Cecil were to play...
If you were to play the whole...
Let's say he played 14 games.
If you were to play 14, I would go over. If you could guarantee me 14 games.
I would, too. I think if in 14 games... Pretty good chance. I mean, what did we say, Tony? The Jags as a team threw for 3,700 last year?
Yeah.
I can't see him being any worse in that department. I mean, it's the NFL, today's NFL. You're going to throw for about 4,000 yards just because of the nature of the league. So if you're throwing for 4,000 yards and Cecil plays 14, I think he'll go over 1,000.
How many did he play last year? Like 12 games and he had like 750 or something?
Something like that.
And then the year before he was like 20 yards from 1,000.
Right. And last year I got the feeling there were a lot of times in the second half, and even though he was playing, He wasn't close to being 100%, you know? So, and his touchdown total is only set at 4, as is Marquise Lee's and Mercedes Lewis. Marquise Lee, over-under, they gave for 700 yards, 700.
I think I would go under on that. Lee, I think, is going to take a little to acclimate. They've been using him a lot on those quick passes, those screens, which I think is perfect for him. But I think what's going to happen is he's going to end up being your guy in the slot with – if Robinson comes back anytime soon with Robinson and Lee on the outside.
How big of a role does Hearns have right out of the gate?
Right now, I think he's a starter.
In a three wide receiver set, what about if it's a two wide receiver, two tight end?
I'd start him.
Hearns and Shorts.
He's been their best receiver.
He has been their best receiver. I'm not denying that.
I think he's earned it. And, I mean, he's done it. It's not just a guy like, you remember John Broussard tearing it up in the fourth.
I remember many guys tearing it up.
Fourth quarter,
sure.
And all that. He's done it in the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter with two different quarterbacks against starters, against backups. And I think he has a big advantage in that he's played with Jed Fish before. I know Loggeman pointed out on his show that, you know, on a hot route, he knew he was the hot route guy and he knew he had to cut off his route for Chad Henne to give him the ball. And if you know that kind of stuff, the coaches are going to trust you more, so they're going to put you out there more in those type of situations. And I think he's flat out earned a starting role right now.
He's been one of the best wide receivers in the NFL statistically in the preseason.
But
he's
been
the best on this team, I would agree with
you. Just the stuff
you.
He's done, you know, running his routes, getting open, because he doesn't have any spectacular physical attribute, really.
Right.
I think he's like 6'1", 200, so he's average wide receiver size. He's not overly fast, but... He gets open and he catches the football.
I think with Marquise Lee, like you mentioned, those short passes, I think it's been evident the last two games. They've really set out to do that on the very first drive. Let's just get the ball in his hands. And I compare that to a basketball player that you want to get a shot or two early.
Right. Yeah,
if you're a point guard and you kind of get him into the game mentally at that point.
That's what he did at USC. That's what he was comfortable doing, were those little smoke screens and the wide receiver screens. And then going down the field in the seam, and I think they're trying to do what he is comfortable at doing right now before they really open it up to more.
Last one, preseason. It's done.
Yeah.
Awesome. Week from today, we'll be previewing Seattle and Green Bay, and we'll be 3 days away from the Jags kicking things off in Philadelphia with the Eagles. Check out Alfie Crow on Twitter, @AlfieBCC. And, of course, he, Ryan Day, and others at bigcatcountry.com for all the latest on your Jacksonville Jaguars. Appreciate you stopping by, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right,
they,
good
they
to see you.
They actually let me in the building. So
I know. We did. There were a lot of,
thanks,
there were a lot of interesting stairs, though, people walking by the studio here in the last hour or so. I enjoy it. He's Alfie Crow for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks to Joe Fortunato. And thanks to Lauren Brooks, as always, and to all of our great sponsors here. I'll be back. Well, we'll be back in a moment to say hello to the boys of XL Primetime. But I'll be back with J.P. Shadrick coming up in just over 3 hours. We'll have pregame for you featuring Pete Prisco, featuring Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, featuring Tony Baselli, Jeff Logman, Frank Frangie, Rick Ballew, John Osier, and a bunch of other people, including
Gus Bradley.
Gus Bradley, thank you very much. Cecil Shorts will be on there today, and a whole host of others, as they say in the broadcasting business, right here on your flagship home for the Jaguars, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We say hello to the boys from XL Primetime next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.